open up your Bibles to John chapter 12. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, or don't know what's going on in the Christian world, the truth is that you probably have heard of the Asbury Revival. You've heard of what God has done in Kentucky, or is doing maybe even still now in Kentucky. There's been a huge revival that started February 8th, by the way. It started February 8th, where a group of students started praying at their regular chapel service, and then they just couldn't stop. And the revival went on for days. In fact, one thing that I thought was interesting, and I heard someone comment this, they prayed past two big events in February. One of them, especially for college students, one of them being Valentine's Day, prayed past through Valentine's Day. And the second one, which is maybe even more important, frankly, the Super Bowl. Pray right through that thing. And these students kept praying and praying. And before you knew it, it is said that 15,000 people per day, listen to this, 15,000 people per day were going to Asbury Seminary there to go and pray and see what God was doing. It was a huge revival. And so that's one of the things that's been on the news. Maybe not on the news as much as it should be on the news, but it's been on the news. Another thing that you might have heard of is a movie recently titled Jesus Revolution. And that's also based on another revival, the Jesus Revolution Revival. So the term revival has been in the media, has been in our movie theaters even. It's just, there's been a lot of talk about revival. Now, revival is a great thing. With the Asbury Revival, of course, you go to social media and there's people saying good things about it. There's people saying bad things about it. I'm going to tell you where your pastor stands on the whole thing. I've got nothing bad to say about people praying and seeking the face of God. I mean, what could you say bad about that? I want the whole world to do that. Like, that's what I want. So I've got nothing bad to say, whether it's genuine or not. I don't know. But people seeking God is what we preach, and it's what we want. So we can't be mad about that. The Jesus Revolution certainly can't be mad about that, where hippies are coming, getting saved and giving their lives to Jesus. And maybe some of you even came from a little bit of that Jesus Revolution, or at least some of that. In fact, most of the modern church in America today seems to come from that place, from what God was doing then. Revival, I want to say and just be very clear about, is a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, there are some things about revival, if I'm honest, that do bother me about revival. And it's not the revival itself, but rather it's the attention that people give to revivals. It's not that it's not that people go and flock. That's a good thing. But it's the fact that revivals have had historically, even in our country, they've had this they've had a start date, it seems, and they have an end date. And then there's no more revival. And then we have to wait another couple years for another revival. And that's the little piece that kind of gets me. Because it makes me say, well, that's good. It's good that people were revived and for a season started praying and seeking the face of God. But I'll tell you, the reality is that I don't believe that we need to be going through these like cycles of revivals. I believe that we could be living in revival. I believe that if you're alive, I don't know, this is just my crazy thinking, but I believe that if you're alive, you don't have to be revived. I don't know, just kind of makes sense to me. Like, I've never seen, a paramedics or a doctor trying to revive someone who's alive. And while revivals are good, I wish that there would be more sustenance. I wish that there would be a sustaining effect from the revival. And I will say that, yeah, I think that when it comes to revival, I think some people do get that life again and they keep going and praise God for that. And then there's these other people that they just had a great crowd experience, but there was really no new life that happened in their life. Because if there was new life, then you have to keep living, right? So I believe that revival is not just for a moment. I believe revival is for a lifetime. That's just me. I believe that you can live in revival. I believe that 100%. By the way, some unintended consequences of these revivals that happen. I heard someone say something funny. They said, you know, it's God knows what he does. Like, God knows what he does. You know, some people said, oh, we want to bring that revival back to our churches. We want to take it back to our churches. And one guy who happened to be part of a revival actually said, you know, there's unintended consequences from revival. Some of the unintended consequences are that if you're in church praying like all day and seeking the face of God 24 hours a day for several days, then some unintended consequences is that your laundry gets backed up, for one thing. Nobody's paying the bills and you've got to go to work, right? So you can get fired if you really wanted to do Asbury right here in South Plainfield. You know, so it's not about necessarily praying through the day. And the Bible is clear, you know, that our praying should be without ceasing, that we need to be in constant prayer, constant communication. So I'm praying that, and I believe that you can be in revival at your job. I believe that you can be in revival at your schools. I believe that you could be in revival no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing. Like, I just happen to believe that you can be alive. Now, in John chapter 10, we have a story of a man named Lazarus, and we've been talking about Lazarus a couple of weeks now, so I hope you know who he is. He is a man that Jesus resurrected. And he is actually the reason why, the plot to kill Jesus actually gets catapulted. Like, this is forefront in the minds of the Jewish leaders. We have to kill Jesus. Why? Because he just performed the greatest miracle of his ministry. He had performed some great ones, but he just really did it. How did he do it? He raised a man from the dead. And he didn't just raise a man from the dead. He raised a man that was already rotting, rotting in the tomb. So this man was not just dead. He was dead. But Jesus raises him from the dead and he brings him back to life. He revives him. By the way, technically, revival and resurrection are a little different. Revival is when you are about to die, you're like on your way to death, and they revive you. Resurrection is actually greater because it's when they bring you back to life after you were dead. So resurrection is different. Revival, it's like you're going to die, but you don't. They revive you. Resurrection, which is even greater, is what Jesus did in Lazarus' life, where he brought him back to life after he had been dead for 4 days. But this man was, in essence, revived. He was, in essence, revived. And the Jewish leaders had a problem with that. And I want you to know that this is we're going to read just three verses here. And in these verses, I want you to notice three characters. I want you to notice three characters. The first group of characters is the crowd. There's a crowd around. The second group of characters are the chief priests. These are the people that want to kill Jesus. And then there's Lazarus. So besides Jesus, there's three crowds. Three characters. There's the crowds, there's the chief priests, and then there's Lazarus. I want to talk to you about how do you live in undeniable revival. How do you live in undeniable revival? So let's go to John chapter 10, verses 9 through 11. It says this: meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus. So there's a large crowd that came to see Jesus, but also the man that was raised from the dead, Lazarus. They came to see him, a large crowd, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests, these are the religious leaders, the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. That to me is one of the funniest parts of scripture. How is it that your plan is to kill the man that Jesus resurrected as he's with Jesus? Like, that makes no sense to me. In fact, I would have loved to see them kill Lazarus. Like, I would have loved to see that. Why? Because Jesus would have just brought him right back to life. Like, do it again. It just would have been funny. Like, to me, like, I don't get it. And by the way, don't think that you're trying to scare Lazarus, right? What are you going to scare Lazarus with? I'll kill you. Like, I've been dead. I know what it's like. Like, it's not that scary anymore to me. In fact, kill me, please. I want to go back and be with the Lord, right? But he's like, he's with the chief priests, and their plans are to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their trust in him. They were believing in Jesus because of Lazarus. Oh, that people would believe in Jesus because of you, that people would believe in Jesus because of the miracle that he's worked out in my life. Like, that's where we need to be. That's the kind of revived life we need to have. But how can you live in undeniable revival? I'm going to give you three things today if you're writing them down. The first one is that you need to get past the crowds. You need to get past the crowds. There's three characters: the crowds, the chief priest, and Lazarus. It's Jesus, the crowds, the chief priest, and Lazarus. But you've got to get past the crowds. One of the things that is interesting to us is that we're impressed by crowds, aren't we? We're impressed by crowds. Recently, I saw a recording artist in a concert, and one of the things that this recording artist did, he looked into the crowd, and he looks at the crowd, and he's just like standing there, just amazed by the crowd of people that came to see him singing. He's like, wow, wow, just saying wow. And almost as if he's taking it in. Totally impressed by the crowds. We get impressed by crowds. I mean, when we heard that 15,000 people per day were going to Kentucky, many people said, I want to go to Kentucky because something big is going on there. I want to go to Asbury Seminary because obviously there's a crowd there. Something big must be going on there. We are impressed by crowds. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are impressed by crowds. We want to be where the crowds are. That's just the way we work. What is going on? That there's a group of people there. Well, we're impressed by crowds, but you know what? Jesus was never impressed by a crowd. If anything, when you think about Jesus was, if anything, he was indifferent to the crowds. Like, it didn't faze him. Like, Jesus never stood there looking at how many people came to watch him preach and just said, wow, look at all these people giving me glory. Look at this. He's not at all impressed by crowds. And it makes sense. He's God. I mean, what can impress God? Like, you're God. You're the biggest thing. Like, literally, on earth and beyond the earth. Like, you're the biggest thing. Like, a crowd doesn't impress Jesus. It never did. If anything, we see that at times Jesus was compassionate towards the crowd. We do see that. At other times, we see Jesus actually trying to get away from the crowds. And Jesus goes as far as rebuking the crowds, correcting them. We read in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, he says, verily, truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. I need to go back a minute and tell you that crowds don't impress Jesus, but people do. You can impress Jesus. You can impress the Lord. I'll tell you one person that impressed God. You remember in the Old Testament, the enemy is going all over the world, and God is having a conversation with Satan, and he says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? There is one dude that, let me tell you something. Have you thought about that guy? Obviously, God was impressed by his loyalty to him. So you can impress God as a person, but crowds don't impress God. And to be honest with you, they shouldn't impress us either. They shouldn't impress us either. If you want to live in revival, you've got to move beyond the crowds. The truth is that many crowds have gone to revivals. And what they've gotten out of the revival is not necessarily an experience with God, but it's an experience with a crowd. And you can have an experience with a crowd, whether you're in church, you can have an experience with a crowd at a big concert, you can have an experience with a crowd just about anywhere. Let me tell you, do not be impressed by crowds. Do not be impressed by crowds. Be impressed by Jesus. The Bible tells us another story where a woman is not impressed by the crowds. If anything, she pushes past the crowds. And if you want to live in undeniable revival, you gotta forget the crowd and you need to push past the crowds. The woman I'm talking about is the woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she realized that if I'm going to get my healing, I need to get past the crowds. I can't be so impressed with the crowd, but I need to get past the crowds and get to who? Get to Jesus. So don't be so impressed by crowds, be impressed by Jesus. If you want to live in undeniable revival, number one, get past the crowds, get past the show, and get to Jesus. I'm going to be very real. I've said this before, but I just, I think it's worth mentioning again. When you come here on a Sunday morning, as a church, the way that we perceive a Sunday morning, this is our best face right here. This is our best face. This is, in some ways, it's a show. In some ways, I'm not going to deny that one bit. In some ways, it's a show. Now, it doesn't just stay at a show. It is, we're genuine about this. We're not faking it. This is real. When we worship, we're worshiping God for real. When I'm preaching for real. I'm preaching because I want you to get some biblical answers to some of the questions that you have. I'm very genuine about this, but at the end of the day, it's a presentation. The reality, what I'm suggesting is that you get past the presentation, that you get past the show and you get to Jesus. My goal is that you get to Jesus, that you don't, this is surface level. Sunday morning, this is surface level. Surface level Christianity. If you stay here and you just say, oh, I'm just going to come every Sunday and this is just going to be my relationship with God. God, I just come to church on Sundays. If this is your relationship with God, this is surface level. Right here, we try to present our best face. This is our makeup face. This is the New Walk makeup face. You don't want to see us on Monday morning. We look a little different on Monday morning. But this is where we do our best presentation. Because, if we're honest, we're trying to attract you. We're trying to get you to at least get a glimpse of how good God is. At least get a glimpse. But, if you're going to live in revival, you got to get past this. You got to move beyond this. You know, the people that went to Asbury or that have been to the revivals in Wales or Brownsville or anywhere they've gone, I hope that they got past the revival, that they went past the crowds, because the people that just stood in the crowd experience, they just got a start date and an end date for the revival. What I'm suggesting is that I want you to live in revival. I want you to go beyond just an end date in a revival, waiting to the next revival. I want you to get past that. And hey, I've got advice for even the people that have gone to other revivals. I just want to say, get past it and get yourself to Jesus. If you want to live, if you really want to live in revival, you got to get to Jesus. So we have the crowds. What are the crowds there for? They're there to see the show. They're there to see the show. Why? How do I know? Because once Jesus stopped giving out bread and fish, they were all gone. They were like, wait, no more bread, no more fish, I'm out of here. And there was only a few that stood. And Jesus turns to Peter, he says, are you leaving too? Are you leaving too? And Peter says, how could I leave? Only you have the words of life. Jesus wants us to get past the crowds, past the show. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. So the first thing is you get past the crowds. The second thing is that you get aligned with the will of God. Let me read this to you again. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And verse 10 says, so the chief priests, let me remind you who these were. These were the people that did not like Jesus. They had different political expectations about who the Messiah would be. They thought that the Messiah would come and overthrow the Roman Empire. And he thought that he would be this political leader that would just start a revolt against Rome. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't either like Jesus. They didn't like him either because Jesus was a threat to their power. They were the leaders, they were in power, and Jesus threatened that entire thing. And they were like, we don't like Jesus because he's getting in the way. And they were not in alignment with Jesus at all. If anything, they were out of alignment with Jesus. Verse 10 says, so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus. They made plans not just to kill Jesus, but we want to get rid of Lazarus. We don't want a trace of who Jesus is. Why? Because on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. So the chief priests, they're jealous of Jesus. They don't like what's going on. And let me tell you, if we want to live in undeniable revival, not only are we going to get past the crowds and get to Jesus, but second, we're also going to get into alignment with what God is doing. We're going to align with what God is doing. The problem with the chief priests and the religious leaders were that they didn't want to get aligned with what God was doing. They wanted to see, no, God is supposed to do it this way. In my mind, he's supposed to do it this way, and he didn't do it that way, so I'm out of alignment with God. The truth is that so many of us, we want God to do things a certain way. God, you have to do it this way. And we want to set the parameters. And we want to say, God, if you don't do it this way, then that's just not going to work. And God is saying, no. I don't align to you, you align to me. And if you want to live in revival, we need to stop telling God how he needs to do things, and we need to submit to the way that he wants us to do things. It's not what I want, not my will, but your will be done. And we're never going to live in any kind of revival if we're constantly fighting God, that if we're constantly fighting his will and his plan for our lives. We need to say, no, I'm not going to do it like Frank Sinatra. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it the way God wants me to do it. I understand that my way seems more reasonable. My way seems better. I get that my way is more the way that I'd like things to be done. But we don't do things our way. We go back to scripture. And we say, God, how would you have me treat the situation? God, what would you have me do? And we go back to scripture. And we align our lives to the way that God would have us do things. You know, it would have been so much better for the chief priest to, instead of trying to kill Jesus and Lazarus, if they would have said, you know what, I'm going to align to what God is doing. Why would it be a good reason for us to align to what God is doing? Well, he just raised a man from the dead. Like he just performed one of the most miraculous miracles that you could possibly do. Jesus just did it. Are you kidding me? Like, you need to at least say, wait, let me at least consider Jesus for a moment. Even if I didn't think he would do it, like, let me consider him. So many of us, we're not living in revival simply because we don't do things God's way. We want to do them our way. I don't know about you, but if it's not preaching to you right now, it's preaching to me. I tell you all the time, I tell you, I don't care if you don't get nothing out of it and I get something, I'm good with that too. But I do hope that God is preaching to you. I do hope God is speaking to you. Because we want to live in revival, but we want to do this over here my way. We want to live in revival, but we want to live in sin. We want to live in revival, but we also want to disobey God over here. And we want to live in revival. And by the way, let me just make it very clear that revival isn't just about an exterior worship and an exterior praise. Like that's not real revival. That is singing. And that's being exuberant. But revival that is genuine is revival that is not just on the outside, visible on the outside, but it's also evident on the inside. And we need to be living in revival. The chief priests, they would not align to the will of God. For whatever their reasons were, they would just not align. So we have the crowds, we have the chief priests, and I told you, we also have Lazarus. outside of Jesus, these are the three characters. The only person in this text that was living in revival, literally, was Lazarus. He was the only person. Now, if you go to scripture and you try to learn about Lazarus and you're trying to find out more about Lazarus, you'll find that the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Lazarus. But what it tells us about Lazarus is probably all we need to know about Lazarus. There's one thing that the Bible does tell us about Lazarus, that he was friends with Jesus. He had a close relationship with Jesus. He was just in relationship with Jesus. That's it. That's all the Bible really tells us about him. That Jesus loved him. In fact, when the Bible tells us that Jesus wept, this is why he wept. He wept because of Lazarus. There was an intimacy there. When we talked about Jesus even last week, or a week ago, I don't even remember now, but we spoke about Lazarus and we were telling you, wait, there was Mary. You remember she was worshiping and she was pouring the perfume at Jesus' feet, wiping it with her hair. There was Martha where she was serving. And the Bible tells us something very subtle and very simple about Lazarus, but it's so meaningful. He said, Lazarus, he was over by Jesus. He was just eating with Jesus. And you're saying, well, what's the big deal about that? No. You need to understand. He was with Jesus. He was with Jesus. Like he just wanted his presence. How many days did God create the world in? He created everything. He created six days. He created everything. All right? He created everything. But then there's a seventh day. Do you remember that seventh day? The Sabbath. Right? That's the day where the Bible tells us that he rested. God rested on the seventh day. Now, the Bible also tells us that God neither sleeps nor slumbers, which means what? It means he don't need to rest, right? He never gets tired. It's like, ooh, creating the universe. Wow. Ooh, that'll poop you out, man. You know, it wasn't like that. Like God wasn't like exhausted. Like, ooh, I need at least one day to just nap. You know, like I just need, ooh. That was not God. God rested on purpose. Man, some of us be like, I need to rest on purpose, like, right? I heard a comedian once say that he loves sleep so much that he has dreams about taking naps. That's how much he loves sleep. But God doesn't need that. So what is his rest all about? I'm going to tell you why God rested on the seventh day. You know what God wanted to do on that seventh day? He simply wanted to enjoy his creation. He wanted to sit back and take it all in. If you're a parent, every so often, you know, you probably sit back and you just want to take in the fact that your kids are playing, that your kids are having fun, and maybe the house is a wreck, but listen, it's just that moment, right, that you just take in. Those moments that we take in, that's exactly what God wanted to do on that day of rest. He just wanted to take it all in. And you know what? There's a day where we're going to be with him forever, and I imagine that God is just going to be taking it all in, just enjoying his creation, enjoying his people. That's all he was doing. All he was doing. What was Lazarus doing at Jesus' feet? He was just eating with Jesus. Just enjoying Jesus. Taking in his word. There was one person out of all these people that was living in actual revival. You know who that person was, don't you? Lazarus. But why? Because of a relationship. Because of a relationship. Lazarus wasn't impressed by the crowds. Lazarus had aligned his life with Jesus and with what God was doing. And Lazarus, most of all, was in relationship with God. In relationship with God. Can I tell you something? When you live in relationship with God, you really don't have a need for a revival in your life because you're already alive. Lazarus didn't need a revival because he was alive. What I'm preaching to you, I'm not saying revivals are bad. Please don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that revivals, they can start, but they shouldn't end in your life. That it should keep going. That there should be an overflow in your life, of a relationship with God. And it's always growing, always getting better. When I was younger, and I had given my heart to Jesus, there was a friend of mine that got saved. And when he got saved, man, I was a believer early in life. I've shared this with you. About 14 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. So by 19, I thought I had it all figured out. And I figured, you know, I know how to do this Christian thing. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was somewhat of a kind of cold Christian at the age of 19 because I figured, like, I got this. I know what church is like. I know what I'm supposed to do. But this guy gets saved, and out of nowhere, he's fired up for the Lord. And I'm like, I want that. Like, that's really cool. I want that. And I remember just looking at his life and seeing everything that was happening in his life. And I said, wait a minute. Why did I allow myself to grow cold? Why did I get so far from God? And I said, I'll never let that happen again. I said, there's no reason why I need to live on a Christian roller coaster where I have these crazy highs and these really low lows. I said, no, no, no. From now on, listen, I'm just going to go with the Lord, like, regardless. I don't need to be on an emotional roller coaster all the time. You know these Christians. Don't make me talk now. But you know some of these Christians. You know some of these people that you see them on Sunday, oh, praise God, God is good, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then you see them by Wednesday, I'm like, yo, you know, and their language is different. Their everything about them is different. You're like, and listen, it's all about you staying consistent, loving God, remaining revived, loving Jesus, seeking him every day more and more. I want more of a relationship with you. I want to hear from you, God. I want to get past the crowds. I don't want just a crowd experience. I don't just want a crowd experience, but I want God in my life. It's okay if you went to Asbury. It's okay if you went there and you worship God, but I pray that it's more than just going to Asbury, because listen, if you went to Asbury just to come back and be the same person, then there's no point. But it's about revival, genuine revival. Here we have the crowds that were just looking for an experience. Here we have the chief priests who would not align their lives to with what Jesus was doing, but we also have Lazarus. We have Lazarus. John 15:5 says, I am the vine. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is saying, you need to stick with me. You need to stay with me and you'll see fruit come out of your life. So I just, I'd like to just end with some questions for us. Are we living in revival? I'm not talking about that, you know, we can't get you out of church and your laundry's piled up and your bills aren't paid and, you know, you're just praying all the time. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are you living in a consistency, a consistent relationship with the Lord? Are you living in a consistent relationship with the Lord? That you're the same today and then tomorrow I'll see you, you'll be the same person and maybe even a little more mature. That maybe in your consistency with the Lord, you can say, you know what? I'm not the man or the woman that I need to be yet, but I am certainly better than who I used to be. God is still working in my life and he's doing. Listen, if I'm still hearing the same attitude in your life that you were living with like years ago, then maybe there is no revival. There needs to be maybe a revival in your life, but there should be a progression. I'm drawing closer to God. I'm doing things more like the way God would have me do them. I am aligning more with the will of God. I've gotten past the crowds and I'm living in genuine revival, genuine relationship with the Lord. So are you living in revival? And if you're not, then maybe you do need to be revived. Maybe you do need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I need new life again. I need life again. I need to live in relationship with you, Lord. And not just that. It's undeniable revival. When you see somebody that's living in revival, it's undeniable the work that God is doing in their life. It's undeniable. No one could deny what God had done in the life of Lazarus. So much so that the chief priest wanted to kill him. Are you living in revival or are you just okay with the crowds? No, you know, I'll be good. I'm good. I'm good with just being at the crowd surface level with Jesus. I'm fine with that. Are you just fine with that? Like, is that good enough for you? Is that good enough for you? Because I tell you what, if that's the case, then no, you're not living in revival. No, we're not living in revival. If this is it, if this is all you want. And by the way, I'm not trying to coerce you to any other services. I'm not even just talking about New Walk Church. Like Monday morning, are you in your scripture? Are you in your word? Are you praying? Like outside of what we do here, are you praying? Are you seeking God throughout the week? Are you spending time with other believers, sharing stories, sharing testimonies? Are you witnessing to people? Like that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about us going deeper. Heard just yesterday, I was with a worship leader that he told me that one of the worship band members doesn't want to be seen on the live stream camera. So like in their church, when they do the live stream, she says, I don't want to be on camera. And he says, but she's on Instagram and she's on Facebook and she's on everywhere else taking all these selfies. But at church, you don't want us to show you on camera at the church? What is going on here that you don't want to be seen in church on the live stream? But you're fine with your picture being everywhere. Is that us? Is that who we are? I hope not. I mean, people should be able to know that you are a believer, that you're trusting in God, and that you're growing in faith. And are you aligning your life with what God wants and has for you? Can I tell you this? And I say this with all love. God's plans for your life are better than your plans for your own life. God's plans for your life are better than your plans for your own life. That's okay. Come on, Sister Tracy, do it a little louder. You could just don't be afraid. Go ahead. God's plan for your life are better. It's better for you if you align with the will of God than for you to try to align God with your will. So align. If you want to live in revival, align and seek friendship with the Lord. Seek relationship with God. If there's anything that I want, is you. As beautiful as the miracles are, as beautiful as the crowds are, what I want, Lord, is you. What would happen in our lives if that's the way we lived? What would happen in our lives if that's the way we lived? If we got past the crowds, if we aligned to God, and if we said, no, I want to live in relationship with you. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There will be genuine revival happening in your life. And as a byproduct, just like Lazarus, people will come to Christ on account of you. People were coming to Jesus on account of Lazarus. People will come to Christ on account of you. And you know what? The truth is that you'll barely have to speak about Jesus. I mean, I'm not saying don't speak about Jesus. Speak about Jesus. But sometimes our problem is that we want to speak about Jesus, but we want to have an attitude at work, and that just don't flow. Like, that doesn't go. People will see a new life. They'll see a life change in you, and they'll have to just come and ask, hey, what is going on in your life? What is happening in your life? That there's a difference. I noticed there's a difference. And then you can tell them, you know what? Jesus is the difference in my life. And man, I don't know about you, but I want heaven to be filled on account of me. Man, I want to sit before the presence of God. And I want God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to sit with God, and I want God to sit with me for a little bit and say, hey, Rob, by the way, you don't know this, but let me show you all the people that came to Christ because of you. And I don't just want that for me. I want that for you. I want you to sit with God, and I want him to be able to tell you, on account of you, she came and he came and that other person. And you can say, I didn't even think that person liked me. No. They came to Christ on account of you because they had their eyes on you, and they saw the way you were living your life. They saw the way you were loving your husbands, loving your wives, loving your children, honoring your parents. They're like, God, they saw that in you, and on account of you, they gave their lives to Jesus. Oh, how beautiful would that be? That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. And can I tell you, there is no relationship like having a relationship with the Lord. There's nothing like having a relationship with the Lord. You know, as beautiful as revivals are, I'll be honest with you, I've had church all by myself. I don't know if you have, but when you're living in revival, you could have church by yourself. You could have church by yourself. One of my children, I don't want to make sure he's not around, but one of my children he wanted to fast for like 40 days. And even I had to tell him, I said, listen, bro, I know you want to stop eating for 40 days, but that's a lot. Like, you need to chill. You already don't, you don't have that much body fat on you to hold you for 40 days. I'm concerned for you. And he's like, no, but I made this commitment. I'm going to fast for 40 days. And I'm just like, listen, you did about a week here. Let's call it a week. We'll come back to it. Maybe do 40 days, like one every few weeks or something like that. Let's do it that way. And I teased him. I said, listen, he goes, no, but I got into this with my friend and I don't want to let him down. I said, you tell your friend your dad's a pastor and he says it's cool. Like, and I wasn't trying to, but he took this day. But let me tell you something. I heard my boy having church in his room, praying, calling out to God. And God doing a work in him. And it's a continual thing. And people that know him know that God is doing something in his life. I want the same for you. I want people that know you to know that God is doing something in your life. That God is doing something in your life. And that on account of you, people would come to know Jesus and put their faith in him. Amen? Let us pray.